to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is our second part of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We're talking about unconditional love, and we want to hear from you. 855-454-5905. I am your host, Marcos Mercado. And with us here in the studio are two very special guests. We have Pastor Matthews, Chris Matthews, and his wife, Tamika Matthews. They are a blended family. They are pastors of a church. And also, they are both principals, school principals. So there's a lot that they have, a lot of wisdom. And we're having some engaging in some great conversation. So make sure you join us. Get in on the conversation. We are on our second segment. So we have one more hour of our show. So don't miss it. All right. Give us a call. 855-454-5905. We're going to continue here with our calls. We have Darlene calling in from the Philly area, and she's saying she's not feeling loved or appreciated. Good morning, Darlene. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. We're great. So you mentioned to our producer that you wanted to make a comment because you're not really feeling that your husband is loving you back. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So share with us, like, why don't you feel loved by your husband?
Well, because he's dealing with some things that he's going through. He's been out of work and everything. And I know sometimes that can make men feel less than a man, if I can say that, if they are not providing for their family, and I'm the one that's working. But my thing is being unconditional love. How can you unconditionally love someone when they portray that they don't want to be loved? They become very vicious. They, you know, they don't talk to you. You try to conversate. They have nothing to say. And I'm at the point right now, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to leave.
Okay.
I mean, it's been a long time. You know, we've been together for 32 years come Tuesday.
It
will be our anniversary Tuesday.
Okay.
And I just don't know what to do anymore because he has completely shut down.
Okay.
There's nothing I can say or do. I'm sorry.
But there's a couple of things that I'm thinking about. And, you know, of course, this is just a quick conversation we're having. So feel free to fill in any blanks that we might miss. But you started off by saying that your husband has been unemployed. How long has he been unemployed for?
Well, this time it's about 4 months going on now this time. But
okay.
It's, you know, off and on. He had a very good job years ago.
Okay.
And when they did downsizing, that really did something to him. So he really has not been able to get, you know, back on his feet, if I can say that. So it's been jobs here and there. But this time, the job, when he lost his job, he just, you know, I feel like he's just given up on everything.
And it's possible. And you're probably, I mean, you know him. You've been married now. It's going to be 32 years. You know, if you can think about the past 32 years and if maybe the first 15 were different than the last, you know, then you know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's not being himself, I mean, number one, he really may be depressed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he might be going through some depression. He might be going through something physical. Does he drink or smoke or abuse drugs?
No. We're church people. He a deacon in the church and
okay.
and everything, and he goes to church and
okay.
So I don't. That's the puzzling part for me is that, you know, you get up and you go every Sunday, and are you not hearing what you are you not getting anything when you go? That's my point.
You know, Darlene, he sounds
depressed.
He sounds sick. Something's wrong. And I think this is the time where you can really learn from and saying, well, God, what do I need to be for my husband? Because obviously what you're doing is not working. You're saying you're trying to encourage him. You're trying to love him. He just won't love you back. And he's shutting down. So something is obviously wrong there. I think that we're not even saying that you go ahead and try to find a solution, but one of the things that I would encourage you is look for ways so you can see clearly. And what I mean by that is, like, don't feel like you got to fix your husband. other than maybe you both can go to some counseling, some therapy, so that you can see some things clearly and he can start seeing some things clearly. Because it does sound like he's depressed. I mean, from a quick snapshot that you've given us, something doesn't sound right. Especially if that's not how he was always.
No, he was a loving, caring. I used to brag about I had the best husband in the world.
You still do, and I
believe that I still do. You know, and I have suggested that we go to counseling, other than our pastor, because you know maybe he doesn't want the pastor to see him in this what I see at home. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because when it would be at home, and then everything would be fine at church. Everybody thought we were, you know.
Sure. Mm-hmm. They didn't know what was going on. So let me hear what the Matthews have to share about this, because I'm sure they've had their experience in their pastoring a church of what happens when you have situations like this.
Darlene, at first, before you made the statement as about him not wanting to show him his how you guys are communicating and behaving at home at church, I was going to suggest first that he speaks to the pastor. If he is definitely uncomfortable with doing that, I definitely agree with Marcos that you definitely need to seek medical attention for his depression. And the two of you can go together. I think that's important because you're going to want to get down to the root of the problem so that if this is to occur again, that you'll be able to come up with a remedy quickly so it doesn't get to this state.
Or asking him what's wrong. Okay, have you had a conversation with him and again in the right timing, the right frame, and say, baby, I'm concerned. I'm concerned. Yeah. I know you're having some things happening at the job, and I know and I love you. Is there anything that I can do to help you to be a better wife or to make you feel better? You know, even though I'm not saying there's anything that you're doing, you're probably doing more than enough. You call and show us the impetus of who you are, but just say, you know, is there anything that I can do? You know, what's troubling you, baby? I'm concerned about you. And have you ever had a conversation like that with him, and what were the results if you did?
Yes, I have had this conversation. I have suggested that we go to see, like I said, other pastors, even seek counseling through my job. I have did all of this. Just recently, I have did, baby, please, like you was talking about earlier, lowering your voice and doing all of that. I have literally got on my knees and begged him, let's do something. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can't keep living like this, because like I stated earlier, that I have come to the point where I'm ready to go, because you have become very vicious and he just won't do anything. And you just do what you want to do. That's his main thing.
When you say he's vicious, is he abusive?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I mean, verbally, he's not like calling me names or anything like that, because I'm a communicator. Mm-hmm. I like to work things out. And he's the total opposite.
I got you.
He shuts completely down.
Well, I have one specific advice I want to give you, okay? And it comes from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. The one thing that I will caution you here is when you sound fed up, and I think you're being real, so thank you for being real. But when you sound fed up, and if your husband is really depressed, it makes things worse when you're like, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave. It's almost like like what he needs to know. Yeah. And let me encourage you to look at it this way. Saying, honey, we've been together 32 years.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I know this is not how you are. I know you got it in you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm by your side and I'm going to stick with you. And we got to figure this out together. What can we do? No, I don't want anything. All right. Well, what would help you? Oh, it helps me if you stop beating me down. Okay, well, how can I lift you up? And just keep looking at what would he want as a solution? Because I could tell you, at the end of all this, there's something he wants.
Mm-hmm.
There's something. And you have no idea what the devil is telling him.
Right.
And you don't want to help the devil do his job by pushing your husband down even further. So just make sure that you let him know, listen, you're 32 years is a long time.
It's a long time.
You know, it's not, and I know you're frustrated, but sometimes we say things like that and perhaps we don't even mean them as much. When we're like, we're done. what it sounds like to me, you're just saying, listen, you want something to change. You want your husband back.
Yes.
The husband that you married.
Yes.
And so, but by saying I'm done, it's not going
to
help.
Right. Try to focus on those good times.
Focus
you've
on
had.
That. And then praying and fasting, God, send the right people.
Yes.
Say, we'll be willing. My wife and I will be willing. I'm sure the Matthews will be willing.
Yes, we will.
If they're willing, just let us know. You know, if convince them, say, hey, listen, called in the radio show. They're willing to sit down and talk with us because maybe we can talk a little bit more sense into him than you can at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. So hold on. I'm going to put you through to our producer, Larry. He'll get some more information from you. And if you're interested, we want to hear from you more off the air to see if we can help you both.
Okay.
Definitely.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, God bless.
God bless.
God bless you all.
God
Thank
bless.
You.
Yeah, amen. All right, don't touch that dial. We have our last break before our final segment here of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We're talking about unconditional love. Give us a call at 855-454-5905 to get in on the conversation. We'll be right back after this short break.
The Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to the final segment of Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise, your inspiration station. We're talking about unconditional love. Give us a call at 855-454-5905. I am your host, Marcos Mercado. And I hope you join us as we have our very special in-studio guest. We have Pastor Matthews and his wife, Tamika Matthews. Welcome. Welcome to our show. They've been a great, great
Thank
co-host
you.
This
Thank
morning because
you.
You really have been co-hosting here with us. And we're going to continue on with our phone calls. We're going to line two where Stacy has been waiting patiently. Good morning, Stacy. You're live on the air with Praise.
Hi, Marcus. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So, Stacy, what can we do? What is your comment or question for us?
I just wanted to share my testimony regarding the topic of unconditional love.
Okay.
I've been married for 14 years. I got married when I was pretty young. I was 24 years old at the time.
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I were both Christians at the time when we got married. I can say for myself, though, I was not in relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. Although I called myself a Christian, I was not in relationship with Christ, meaning I didn't ask him about certain things in my life, you know, as it pertained to what he wanted for me. So the moment I started seeking Christ for that relationship, God made himself very visible to me, his presence and his love. And I just want to say in a way that I started to live my life differently, and I strive to be a better Christian in everything that I do in terms of all the relationships that I was involved in. And, of course, being married at the time, that would have to start with my husband.
Sure.
And at the same time, when my eyes began to open and God began to reveal certain things for me, it was at that very moment that I felt, I would say, I woke up and I felt like, how did I get here? You know, I felt like everything up until this point in my life, I didn't ask God about whether my husband was supposed to be for me.
You had an aha moment, huh?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I really struggled with that, and I felt like, you know, I almost felt lost at that particular time, even though, you know, he made himself so real in my life. I just felt like, okay, Lord, so what do I do now? So basically what I started doing was just consulting him about the things in my marriage. And I would say, I haven't been through a lot of, there's been no infidelity in my marriage, but, you know, as a young couple, we just struggle with just little trivial things, arguing sure. back and forth. And I'm like, I'm speaking to God and I'm talking to God as if he was my friend and saying, Lord, now, you know, he just wrong. But every time God would speak back to me, he would always deal with me.
Yeah, it's like, you like, know he's just wrong. It's like, yes, yeah. but you married a sinner, and what do you have to learn? Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And I felt like, Lord, why are you always speaking to me? And you know he wrong. I'm going back and forth with God about it. And he was like, look, just handle it this way and look at the results you'll get out of this. And the moment I started listening to what God said about things in my marriage, the moment we consult Christ on the things that we are dealing with in our marriage, the moment we began to understand that unconditional love, because he got on the cross for us in spite of who we were.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely.
So I had to realize I had to look at my husband the way God looked at him. Mm. And, you know, and I didn't claim, and I had to learn I'm not a perfect individual either. He's working with me the same way he's working with my husband.
You learn to take the speck, the plank out of your eyes before you try to take the speck out of his.
Right.
That's awesome, Stacey. That's an amazing testimony. And so how many years has it been?
14 years.
14 years. So is your marriage better?
Definitely, much better.
Great.
And in fact, Marcos, I had reached out to you maybe a couple months back about some counseling for us, and I never followed up. You gave me your contact information. I never followed up, but I did get some counseling, and counseling has been a great thing for us.
Awesome.
And I would say we're never at a bad place. I think counseling is always great. You get a different perspective, and it's just helpful. At times, I encourage any couple out there, if you're struggling with things in your marriage, never be afraid of counseling. It's always great to get a third perspective, and especially a third godly perspective.
Yes, that's most Absolutely. Important. Most
when it's
important.
Spiritual counseling, and this is what I think. I think a lot of times what we do, especially I say us, like minorities,
we
go to counseling when it's like, we're at a last leg. Yes, like, we are like, all right, exactly. we're killing each other, and we're like, we need help. It's like, you know what? That it's like, it's not necessarily the healthy that need a doctor. So if we realize we always have things we could do better, that we just go to counseling to be preventive.
Yes.
Preventative things, that to learn to communicate, to learn how to love one another. So I thank you. And look, I'm fine. You didn't have to call me for counseling. I'm glad you got the help you need. And it sounds like what you really needed was to listen to what God was saying to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to share a scripture with you. I'm sure you're familiar with, but for you and all our listeners, Hebrews 12, verse 11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And I think, you know, the important part is allowing God to train us, to show us. And I think that you've done that. You know, we commend you. Congratulations.
Yes.
Stacey, thank you for sharing that with us. We really do appreciate
it. No problem. Thank you.
And God bless
it.
And thank you.
Definitely a blessing.
Amen, Stacey. Well, you be blessed. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that's so encouraging, isn't it?
It is. It's very
And you don't just have to call with problems. I love that she called with her problems, but then the solutions
she
had. And it didn't have to be us, right? But she just said, listen, I needed some godly advice, some counseling. I didn't follow up, but I went somewhere and it sounded like her husband wanted that. So it could be your pastor. It could be a therapist, a counselor. But one thing you want to make sure is that it's spiritual, that they guide you in the right direction. I know of folks who have gone to actual, you know, just secular therapists, and there are some good ones out there, but there's some who would tell you, oh, your marriage is, you're not good for each other, you should just divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
No, the Bible is still the Bible,
that's right.
And divorce is not an option. Now, there are exceptions, but you should go in wanting to hear the voice of God, not trying to hear what's going to be the easy way out.
Mm-hmm.
God's way is not always the easy way. It is the best way. So,
it is the best.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's continue on here with our calls. We have Angie, who is calling in on line 3. Good morning. You're live on the air. Hello,
Good
Angie.
Good morning.
Good morning, Angie.
I believe you have a question for us about communication. Is that correct?
Yes. It's been so amazing just sitting here listening to the previous two callers, because the one before the last one with the testimony sounds so much like myself, although in different aspects. But and I always tell my daughters, too, not to get off the subject, that communication is so key.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that's an area that I struggle with in my marriage, because sometimes we feed off of each other's, I want to say, negative energy. Like, say, for instance, he he's had a bad day, or just his facial expressions or whatever. And then, you know, then not only that, the way he may come off to me, and I, you know, feed off of that. And, like, that's been, like, a big, big, big issue.
Wow.
Because then I totally, like, shut down and really don't want to communicate, because it's like, you know, here we go again. It's like, God, I'm tired of this. Like, I want to pass this test. It's just like we're at the same table with the same mess all the time, and you just get, like, so sick of it. But I said all that to say this, you know, we have been through some things that have materialized. Like, for instance, my husband was in a really bad car accident.
Wow.
And then, like, the previous caller said, like, he didn't feel worthy because he wasn't work. He just, praise God, he just went back to work. But after 5 months, and so that had a lot to do with,
sure,
you know, everything going on. Then his mom passed, and, you know, although he was in an accident, then he, the accident was a blessing in disguise, because we found out some other issues that,
wow,
needed some attention. So it's just been like, bam, boom, 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 boom. So, but now through all of this too, we're getting counsel, and but the thing is, she's not saved. I mean, she's, like, close by, but I don't believe she's, I mean, we really like the place and all that, but I think maybe we need to find godly counsel. I mean, we've been to our pastor as well, but like the other caller said, sometimes.
Just ask her. Ask her, because some therapists, they're not ethically allowed to tell you what their beliefs are unless you ask them first. So if you can say, listen, you know, We also want some biblical counsel. We want some godly advice. And, you know, she may have that for you, but she just can't, you know, just go ahead and share that openly with you unless you ask her first. So that's one thing. Real quickly, let me share this scripture with you. And I also want you to be able to hear from and get some wisdom from both Pastor Matthews and his wife Tamika, because they have some great things to share. But Proverbs 15, I love this passage. It says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. It's so much about our response, especially in the heat of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
it's how you respond. You know, off the air, I was telling the I was sharing with the Matthews how there have been situations that I've had to deal with recently. Not with my wife, but with, you know, conflict or potential, you know, escalating conflict, that I've learned, okay, how do I diffuse this? How do I do this? And I believe this is a great scripture, because it's the answer that we have with gentleness, with love, with compassion, instead of just reacting. And those are the problems that we usually have in our marriages, is we're so hurt that we react and we attack one another. And, you know, we really become counterproductive, because you want your spouse to love you and to respect you and to, you know, really cherish you. But a lot of times, by the way we react, we end up pushing them away.
Right.
And that's not what we want. So both Tamika and Chris, what do you guys think?
One thing that we tell couples that we talk to often, I think Pastor Matthew said it earlier, is you want to find the opportune time to have or communicate about an issue.
Mm-hmm.
We've told couples in the past to practice a strategy where they sit knee to knee facing each other, and they each have 5 minutes to discuss three things that might be concerning them at a time that they're not in a feud or angry or disappointed. If they practice that, you know, if not daily. Do we referee it? No, they do it. We try to teach them to do it on their own.
Okay.
And without the children around, when it's calm time for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just facing knee to knee, eye to eye, speak out three things that you may be concerning you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other person has to communicate back, I've heard those things. I'm listening. And then after those 5 minutes or so of doing that, then talk about, I like what you said earlier, giving solutions on how you fix it.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree. It's not what you say, but it's how you say it. It's definitely not, you know, what you say is really how do you say it. For example, You can say, you know, I'm so tired of this marriage and how you are always depressed. Or you can say, hey, baby, I know you're going through a lot. I'm just concerned about how you're feeling on the inside. I love you so much and you mean the world to me. I'm just concerned about you seem like you're a little depressed. Now, because you worded it differently, a person will respond to it differently. So what it causes us to do, it causes us to be reflective. What do I mean? Before you speak, think before you speak. Oftentimes, I will write down my sentence, my opening sentence, before I say it to my wife. If it's a hot button, a hot topic, then what I will do, and I will write it down on the iPad, write it down on the note, and I will say it out loud to myself and say, how will I respond to that? And then I make that initial statement, because a lot of times we blow it on the first sentence. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm so sick and tired of this. Now, what do you expect me to do after that but to put my defenses up and react and put my posture up? But if I say, hey, baby, I think you're an amazing woman, and I just want to share with some things that I think that I need, not necessarily anything
so
that you're doing
what
wrong.
What happens if that doesn't work? What if Tamika's like, don't high baby me nothing. What are you really trying to tell me? What do you do then?
Well, then you shift. See, life is not how you handle plan A, but it's how you handle plan B, C,
plan
D,
B.
E.
So what's plan B?
Plan B has to be, well, baby, it's still baby. You have to put the baby there. The same way when I talk to
baby.
My family.
Because you can say baby, or you can be like,
yeah,
sugar or
at that time,
sugar.
Probably already frustrated or
yes,
whatever. And probably not trying to hear anything because it's like I told him, you know, things might have happened to you, but it happened to me too, because whatever happens to you affects me. So I'm mm-hmm. the closest one to you. And so, like, I'm here, but you're lashing out at me. And mm-hmm. I understand what you're going through, but you need to communicate some things to me if I'm not, you know, understanding. But see, men, I think so much have been taught that they can't show any signs of any kind of weakness
mm-hmm.
where, you know, and especially to their wives that, you know, that's the other way that they communicate, by, you know, with their attitude or
sure.
or you know, just being mean, or and, you know, and that's my main thing.
Well,
if I had to say one thing I struggle with in my mind is that communication, where, you know, I want him to respect me, I want to respect him, but somehow or another we always butt heads.
Okay, ask you.
Well, let me interject real quick. Do you know what a vortex is, right?
Yes.
Okay. I call it, you have to avoid the vortex. Okay, once that spinning starts, and this is
right.
what happens. If you are in a conversation and your voice changes and is escalating, it's like a vortex. You can't stop it. So 15 seconds, if you know it's heading in that direction, you stop it. You just stop it. And whoever stops it has to, you have to respect it. You have to say, listen, if my wife or you're the husband, you know, the husband or the wife, one of you decide, okay, this is not going at a good place, we need to stop it. You have to both agree to respect that, and you walk away. And then when you come right. back, the person that stopped it needs to be the one to come back and humbly revisit it, but take ownership. And let me tell you, because once that starts, it won't stop.
Right, it is
like
so hard
it
to
just
get out
it just
of.
Doesn't. I mean, I've even tried. Let me tell you, there are times where we're like, we're in this vortex, and we're like, let's pray, and we don't even feel like praying.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing is, like, just walk away, stop, respect that though, because the problem I used to have for a long time is I didn't respect it. My wife wanted to stop, and I wanted to get resolved right then and there, and it just got worse. And so I think respecting and saying this is not going well, walk away. Pray.
Mature.
And then sometimes you need to bring someone else in, but sometimes you both can just come back. But that person has to come back humbly. It's not to come back and point the finger, but to come back and say, you know what, let's talk about this. Now is a good time to pray. Now is a good time to talk. But avoid that vortex.
I like that, Marcus.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that. And I like the part that you said, because that's what she last told us, to think about three things that, you know, how to communicate. The positive things, you know, and then, you know, just give it. And I think, like the other last caller said, it's so important for people that struggle in anything to get help, somebody outside that might not be as close to the situation where you can let your hair down, so to say, speak. And so you can really get down to what is really bothering you. What's really going on? Because, like the one caller said, and I know I'm probably taking up a lot of time, but
you know, you act one way at home, like I know you this way at home,
yes.
And then at church, you're this way, and it's like, well, wait a minute, what, you know, like, well, if you're going to be this way there, be this way there, too.
Sure.
Can I say this one thing about that, because it's so funny you said that a couple we're talking to. I call it fighting unfair, that when you have communication, the biggest thing we have the tendency to do is use it against each other. That if we're communicating and I tell you something while I'm angry, well, then you're going to use it against me later, and will cause a lot of men to shut down. So I'm not going to say anything, because anything I say can and will be used against me in a court of marriage. So they tend not to say things. So what I share is that you know, when you're saying something, you know, don't put it in the archive that I can pull it up later and say, well, you did this last time, and last time we talked about this, and last time, because that's just going to cause you to shut down more and cause men to shut down more. A lot of men have, you know, don't communicate. There's, you know, women tend to communicate more than men. But when you shut them down or provide them with a place that's not safe, then it's going to tend for them not even to say anything. Now I'm not going to say anything, because anything I say is going to be used against you. And finally, real quick, is at the point of going to church, you know, sometimes women will say, well, he's different at church than he is at home. Well, I say, well, that's good. I said, I'm different at work as a principal than I am at home when I'm sitting there playing football and playing video games with my son. There's a different tone and tenor. So just understanding that if he is one way at church, you know, there's common ground, but there is a difference in a difference between a work face, a church face. Mm-hmm. The president of the United States, I'm sure, is different when he's home with his wife than when he is being in the Oval Office.
You should be right, and I understand that, but you should have that same common ground somewhere as far as, you know, how you treat me or how you speak with me, you know. If you speak to me in a certain way at, you know, around our church family versus home, then I don't think that's cool. Because
you're talking about what
am I, chopped liver? Like, you
think, yeah,
you
you're know? Talking about what James says when it's real clear. It says it's not right that you use the same tongue to curse God and then to praise God. Like, you know, you want to make sure that you're consistent. And I think, you know, honestly, you are dealing with a lot of different things. And I want to encourage you, you know, take the advice, you know, avoid the vortex, do what Tamika shared, share those three positive things. But ultimately, it's going to go back to the decision that you and your husband make about what you will and will not do in your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my wife and I, we know we're in this for the rest of our lives. We want it to be a joy. We want to bring glory to God because of it. And so we get help. We want to make sure. We don't think we figured it all out. We're learning this as we go, but we allow people in our lives to help us. All right. Well, so Angie, now, thank you. I'm sorry.
Just one more thing before I go, not to cut you off, but if this person, although they're close and convenient, if they're not working out for us, can you suggest, because we don't really know anybody else that, you know, like spiritual counsel, because we would prefer that. But right now, counsel is better than no.
No, I hear you. I hear you. No, absolutely. Well, you know what I can do, because I don't want to necessarily endorse someone just on the air. You can stick around, just speak to my producer, Larry. He'll give you some more contact info, and you know, we can have some more conversation. There's some great people, but ultimately, it's you and your husband have to feel great about the people that are influencing and advising you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't feel great about it, just find someone else. But just stay on the phone. Larry would help you to connect some more off the air.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Well, God bless. Thank you, Angie.
God bless you, too. Thank you.
All right, let's continue here. We have Markia calling in on line 4. Good morning, Markia.
Good morning.
Good morning. Am I pronouncing your name correctly, Markia?
Markia.
Okay, Markia.
Good morning,
nice,
Markia.
Nice, Markia. All right, so Markia, what is your comment or question for us today?
Well, I want to be unconditional, but it's just a whole lot going on, but I'm just going to keep it godly.
Okay, good.
All right, that's what's up.
Because me and my husband, I think, you know, they got the eight-year itch, I guess they call it, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of our marriage, I was pregnant when I got married. That's number one. Number two, in the beginning of that, after I had my baby, there was infidelity, and it was on both sides. Once I found out about the particular incident, I kind of got revenge in a bad way, and I held it for like a year, that secret, which I wish I never did in the first place, because that person was in my life forever, since 91. Mm. And I just felt as though I messed up friendship, or now, I don't want to say he don't trust me, but even though this person's still in my life, but it's just the fact that he's been helpful in my marriage when if I ever need anything. He don't just help me. It's helping my family. You get what I'm saying?
I'm trying to get clear. You're talking about the person you were unfaithful with? Helps you?
It was kind of in a way where the person that I had an incident with, it was just he'd been my friend ever since for years.
Okay.
For like almost 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And with my husband, he's just secretive. Everything is secretive. Phones in the other room. Ever since I know him, phones in the other room. I never thought about him cheating. Then all of a sudden, it was just whatever. So first thing after that happened, after everything came out, I said, let's pray about it.
Okay.
Even though we wasn't in the church. We both came from church homes. But the thing, at the time I was little, I was just going with my mom. You know, we would go to church, things of that sort. But I didn't know about the church, the block.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear that. But let's not get off topic. So your husband cheated, and you retaliated, and you cheated as well. I wasn't clear on is, are you still in contact with the person that you cheated with?
I'm still in contact with that person.
Why?
Because that person known me before my husband.
So what?
The only reason why I say is because this person is like a girlfriend, like, you know, like he was like only had three friends.
But you were involved with this guy. Listen, everybody's ex knew them before their present.
That's how they became.
You know what I mean? It's like
we friends. Never was a boyfriend girlfriend.
But you slept with the guy. Does your husband know?
I told him.
And what did he say?
He was upset, but just after the fact that I found out that it was another person.
I know, I got you. But listen, is he okay with you
still
having
communicating
this
with that
best
person.
Friend with the person you slept with?
Is he okay?
Yeah.
He's okay. He said it's like a situation where he don't like it, but he just
so he's not okay. He doesn't like. I wouldn't want that. Here's the thing. Would you be okay if
he knew about us from the beginning. He knew that we were friends from the beginning.
Well, that friendship needs to stop, I think.
But listen.
The situation in the beginning.
I got you. But here's your thing. Do you want a great marriage?
I want a great marriage. But the great marriage part is not... It's not even about that friend. It's about a whole bunch of other stuff. Say we don't have no money.
Okay.
And I don't really have no family to go to. I don't want to cry. I don't have family to go to because we're not close. And my friends, my girlfriends only have two, you can say. Mm-hmm. And then it's like this person, if he have it, he would like lend it to me and I give it back to him. That's the only person I have. You know, like the husband, we only got but so much money, and the time with all everything going on, it's like, I need it for this bill, I need it for that to pay this bill, help with this bill.
I hear you.
Just going for me or spending on me, it's just helping
I hear
us.
You. But can I interject, Denise? Denise, that's called...
Markia.
I'm sorry, what did I say? Denise, is Markia. Markia. I just want you to know that it might make sense to you,
mm-hmm.
right? This might make sense to you, but it's incredibly dysfunctional. It's like you're having the relationship with the loan shark. You know, you're mm-hmm. having the relationship mm-hmm. with the one that in a sense might be your friend, but he's not a friend of your marriage. This person is not helping you. And you know what they're really doing is they're enabling you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this person was right about me getting married to this person.
Maybe they were. But at this point, you're married, and the way you're going, you have a very dysfunctional relationship. Not only your husband's infidelity, not only your infidelity, this whole thing is just built on a very shaky foundation.
Right.
And it's not just you. I mean, I'm sure your husband has a lot as well, but you're not helping it. You're making it worse. And so it seems like anytime you get in a pinch, and you just mentioned the financial part, this person is willing to help you. Well, really, number
but
one.
But I don't call on him all the time. Okay. I don't call on. It's just like once in a while, if needed. I just, you know, once in a while, if you know. But we kind of talk. It's like just like if I talk to a girlfriend. Like I said, yeah, only have like
but,
two.
But can I be real? It's almost like, and this is, I'm just being real. All right, you called me. Right. It's like you have a sugar daddy.
Mm-hmm. I don't.
That's what it sounds like. I mean, it sounds like, listen, my husband can't do this. I got someone else, another man that will help me in a way that my husband can't help me.
But I'm not seeing this person no more. Okay. Sugar daddy's still with that person.
All right,
but you're
so there's
giving
nothing
your marriage
they don't
a fair
expect.
Chance.
Well, let me ask you that. How long ago was it that you slept with this guy?
How long ago?
Yeah.
Years ago, back then. Like,
2 years, 3 years, 5 years? All right, so and this guy has never wanted anything else from you?
No, never. We never, nothing else. That's how our friendship was.
Okay.
Like, in the beginning, we started, like, in the beginning, like I say, in the beginning of our friendship was back in 1990-something.
Okay.
So I'm like, right now I'm 39.
All
so
right.
That's a long time of knowing somebody, right? I mean, ins and out of everything that happened to me, my street life, everything. Like, this person knows me.
Yeah, he knows
so
you.
So then, for my husband to get to know me, it's like, okay, you learning me, I'm learning you. And it's like, sometimes he don't get me. I cannot talk to my husband. Like, the other day we had a conversation, and we was talking about, you know.
Markia, don't get off topic. Listen to this. Again, this might make sense to you now, but it's incredibly dysfunctional. And I want you to hear this, you know, Tamika's here. I'm sure she can tell you, even from a female perspective. It's so unhealthy.
It is.
I don't think you really want to hear what we have to say, because everything we say, you have a rebuttal for.
You're not really saying.
I mean, I'm just saying, telling you, it's incredibly dysfunctional. It's just not good. But
okay. But
you're telling us that it is good.
Right.
So maybe we got to learn from you.
Right.
Like, hey, how do you, because everything, you have an answer for everything.
You're not
but
giving,
like
Markia,
said,
you're not giving
about
your...
about everything. I never kept secrets. That's the thing. I don't, my life is an open book when it comes down to anything I do.
Okay.
It's an open, I never even thought about that. I never even thought about nothing. I thought everything was fine and gravy, everything. But maybe I need to cut it off. Maybe that's what I will have to do that. I will have to do that and just say, you know, go on with your life or go on with mine. Even though mine is struggling.
Mm-hmm.
My life is struggling because I suffer with depression. It's going on 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
This person knew this, like my husband. I suffer with anxiety. It got so bad. I didn't really have it that bad. It got so bad now. It's like we argue about the littlest things. It's like we can just be talking, then kind of go into an argument. Like, I love him unconditionally. And, you know, we go to church together every Sunday with the kids, everything. But it's like, what can I do? I'm not that lovey, huggy-dovey person that he wanted me to be. That's why he said he went out doing what he did. Okay,
yeah.
Okay. I say, well, I'm probably not the best, but I can try to change and be,
you know
best
what
I can
you
be.
Mean, Markia? I really appreciate your openness.
Mm-hmm.
You need new friends. That's what it is.
Right. If it was only that person.
It can't just be that person. And you need healthy relationships. And what I said before, you need people who are going to be friends of your marriage. I don't know what this person's like, but the mere fact that you already had a relationship with them and you slept with them, to me, that's off limits.
Right.
You need some strong women in your life that are going to help you, that you can go to.
That's hard. Because
yeah, it is hard to find. But guess what? Hold on, let me finish. Markia, let me finish. God always provides. No, and we hear you, and this is difficult. And we're not saying, listen, just get it together. But God provides. The Bible says you seek, you will find. You're saying you go to church together. Church is the best place you can find these people. But if you don't find them there, you got to keep seeking. There are people who will support you. And I tell you, I know of a bunch that you could just have an amazing support group. And that's what you need, healthy relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a marriage ministry at your church, Markia?
It is, but it's like an interdenomination type thing. So it's like people, to me, it seems like they got their clique. Not saying all do, but it does seem like they got their clique. Sometimes I feel like I don't belong, but I volunteer a lot. I do a lot of volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
And I support You know, and then I'm, like, involving myself, like, you know, in, like, autism speak, you know, like, no autism awareness. Mm-hmm. And I got my own. I'm about to have my own organization exempt. I did that for myself, for my son, for anybody with autism, like beyond autism.
So you have a lot, Markia, and unfortunately, we're out of time. I want to share one more thing with you, and then I want to continue to talk to you off the air. Let me share this with you. Psalm 68, verse 6 says, God sets the lonely in families.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God knows your struggle, and there are answers to your prayer. I just want to encourage you, don't just go to the first person that offers you the help. Look for what you need specifically, because God will send you that. So please stay on the phone. We really appreciate it, Markia, you being open and sharing. This was God that allowed you to come through, because not everybody got through. So we're glad.
No, I kept on ringing and ringing. I'm like, is this real?
Yeah, we're here. You got through. You got through. So Markia, just stand by. We'll have you talk to us a little more. The Matthews are here as well. We'll chat with you a little more. So don't hang up. Stay on the line. Everyone else, thank you so much. We really are grateful that you decided to join us for Marriage Beyond the Vows this week. We'll be back next week, so make sure you tune in next week, Saturday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., Marriage Beyond the Vows. Have a blessed day.